Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the life-changing book, the Book of Romans. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
This morning, as we continue through Romans, chapter 2 is where we'll be picking it up this morning. I'll do a quick overview. Basically, the first chapter, we're dealing with kind of some introduction information regarding, you know, Paul's heart in writing the letter. Then we also know that massive discovery, the just shall live by faith. You know, what a powerful thing. It's not about rules and regulations and all this. It's about trusting and following Jesus Christ and the emphasis in that. It's not just the law of our conscience. It's not just the Mosaic law, but it's about Jesus Christ and what he's done for each and every one of us. And what a powerful truth, what a liberating truth. And that's really what Paul was wanting to communicate, was the liberating truth of the gospel. Then also we go on and we start realizing that man just does not follow God. Ungodliness, sins against God, unrighteousness, sins against other men, and it just goes on and on, you know, man's depravity. And it went through in the latter part of chapter 1, just the decay process. When you resist the truth, you're going to start buying in on lies. You turn away from the truth, you're going to start believing lies. And this is a constant pattern, and we want to guard against that. I don't think that Christians are exempt from slipping back into these kind of patterns, unfortunately. And so we want to guard our hearts on these things. And this is a great refresher and reminder of the price that was paid for our sin and the liberation that we have in Jesus Christ. So eventually we see the unrighteous deeds as we go through of a pagan culture. And this is Paul's kind of going to start to do this parallel between, because the Jewish mindset was that Jews could be saved and no one else, period, end of it. They were saved, and they were saved because of their righteous deeds, the way they lived and chose to live. This is what they equated their righteousness with. Abraham, prior to the law being given, prior to the rite of circumcision, prior to any of that happening, God gave him, through faith, said that, man, you are right with me. Righteousness is yours because of simple faith. And so it was prior to the law being given, prior to the rite of circumcision. Now, the Jewish culture, then they were hanging on to the rite of circumcision. They were hanging on to the Mosaic law, and they were trying to fulfill all this, and it became a works, my term, this is just the way I see it. It was a works trip. They were just, you know, so they were just trying to please God through their own efforts. We can get very bogged down in this ourselves. So he's kind of comparing now, he's looking at all of pagan society. Pagan society, Gentile society, pagan society, they're worshiping all these idols and all this stuff. All of pagan society, it's just the perversity that went with it, and they're all condemned. They're not following, even though they would have some kind of a form of knowledge, or have some that, you know, creation itself cries out for some kind of explanation about who God is. But they just were missing all of this, and it just was a decay process. You know, no one wakes up, especially as a believer, we don't wake up in the morning and say, you know, I think I'm just going to start fornicating. You know, you don't wake up and just, you know, I'm just going to say, I'm just going to become an alcoholic. I'm just going to go buy a bag of weed and start getting stoned. You don't wake up and just decide to do that. There's a process that starts to set in, and it starts with these, and it starts with this, and we start to see, and then we just start to feed on that stuff. It's so important what we look at, what we think about, what we dwell on, what we spend our time, because that becomes our God, unfortunately or fortunately. We will become like our God. See, they started getting lost in pagan, all this worship of idols and all the perversity associated with it, and they just started following suit. And they became desensitized, weren't hearing from God, weren't connected with God. Again, this was the pagan society. Now, so that's the unrighteous deeds of a perverse and pagan society, okay? Now we're shifting gears into chapter 2, and it's based on unfortunate error of self-righteousness and piety. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. Now that is a powerful statement. This particular word judge is a word that means to judge to condemnation. In other words, you see something that someone's doing and you're observing what they're doing, and in your mind you condemn them for their actions. And Paul is saying, and yet you do the same. You see, we're born, we know, with a sin nature. And that sin nature that's within us, we're going to see things and we're going to identify that. And this is the danger for us as Christians today. This is one of the indictments. Some of you may have just become believers. That's awesome. I don't want to say anything that would discourage you from continuing to follow the Lord. But I do know for a fact that the world that surrounds us, and I know that when I had kind of drifted away from God and God was living kind of in a worldly lifestyle, not kind of, I was living very worldly. Let's be real. I was living very worldly. I was completely distant from God, was not following God at all. When I was living that way, one of my thoughts was, it's just hypocrisy. It's just hypocrisy. Christianity is just hypocrisy. You know, these people are saying this, but they don't do that. I was just an observer. And, you know, this is an indictment against the body of Christ as a whole, against the church as a whole. And it's unfortunate. But it is true. I don't think there's a person sitting here that's not a hypocrite. We are. You know, the best thing we can do is get over ourselves. Because hypocrisy is an unfortunate part of the human condition. What I love about this, though, is it keeps us humble. And the reality of that keeps us humble. We can get so engrossed in the, well, we don't do that mentality. And all of a sudden, we're up here. And everybody else is over here. No, I'm as sideways as this next person. The only difference is I got Jesus Christ. That I'm really aspiring not to do this, you know, and live like the rest of the world. I don't want to live like the rest of the world. The danger is we start to judge other people. And we start, the bummer is we elevate ourselves in so doing. So we become self-righteous in our vantage point. And that right there, brothers and sisters, is what the world despises in us. It's one of the things. That's one of the indictments, I would say. How do you, so we're sitting on the plane. Somebody's next to us. And they start talking and they share openly. They're like I would have been. And they're very blunt. And they just say, yeah, you know what? I'm just not into this hypocrisy thing. You know, I am what I am. I am who I am. They're Popeye. And, you know, that's it. You know, some of you guys didn't watch that cartoon. Okay. I am what I am. Anyway, so they're straightforward about who they are. They're straightforward about it. And they say that, man, I don't like this. Now, what do I do with that? Because really, in my mind, I'm saying, yeah, it's probably true. It's probably true. So what do I do? I want to diffuse that. I want to let them know, you know what? You're right. It is a bummer. But you know, the difference is that I got peace in my heart. I know this about myself. And I want to aspire to follow the Lord. And I don't get into the judging. I don't get into the, I'm better than you. Man, you know what? I'm right with you. And man, all I can do is hang on for dear life at the foot of the cross. Man, all of a sudden, it starts to diffuse. Instead of dumping gasoline on an already burning fire in their minds of an indictment against you or against me, you can diffuse that by letting them know how God took you out of certain things, how God's delivered you. You're a work in progress, you know? You're a work in progress. That's a good thing. Something's happening in your life. Why don't you turn with me to Matthew's Gospel real quickly, chapter 7, just real quick. Because we have to talk about this judgment thing, because I'll get questions later, so let's answer them now. Jesus said, judge not, in verse 1 of chapter 7, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, will be measured back to you. And again, he goes on and talks about, you know, the speck, you know, in your brother's eye, and you got a log in your eye, and what you can't see to help somebody, so on and so forth. So, you know, you don't need to be judging somebody else, hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, you know. And this is true, isn't it? You're going to find, I'm going to find, we're all going to find the unfortunate reality of the things that bother us the most, very possibly are the things we struggle with ourselves. It's an unfortunate reality. It really is. It's an unfortunate reality. But sometimes the things that we see in other people that just really bother us are the very things that we struggle with. And we don't even want to come clean on that in our own lives a lot of times. But the Lord knows. And we don't want to be judging people to condemnation. Do you realize Jesus does not look at you that way? Our own sin condemns us. Jesus came to set us free. Jesus doesn't look at you condemning you. Jesus looks at you loving you. Jesus wants to have fellowship with you each and every day. Jesus knows that we are but dust. Jesus knows the frailty of our humanity. Jesus knows our failures, our strong points, and our weak. Jesus knows all that. And yet he loves you and he loves me. And he wants to hang out with us and talk with us and be a part of our lives. If you go on to verse 15, it says, beware of, in chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree, bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by the fruits you will know them. Now, this is the implication here, is that you should be able to look at a situation, and you should be able to tell whether somebody is really, you know, it's identification. You're identifying what they are or who they are. So you're to view something and you're to be able to identify what they're all about. One of the great things that I heard, and I love this one, is what do they eat, spiritually speaking? Now, sheep don't eat sheep. It's just a simple truth. Sheep eat grass. They don't eat sheep. What does a wolf eat? A wolf eats sheep. So if I'm observing and there's people that are kind of cornering people and kind of, I use this term, you can look it up in your own dictionary when you get home, they're talking smack with other people. You'll have trouble finding that in your dictionary. Someday when we issue our known dictionaries here, it'll help you out. But they're trash-talking people. They're saying things they shouldn't be saying. They're bad-mouthing the ministry. They're just, I don't know, why aren't we doing this? And how come that's not going on? And the finger's broken and they can't do a thing, you know? So I don't buy in on it. I don't take any stock in it. And I don't want people doing that around the church. That devours other people. That confuses people. And that's not supposed to be going on around the body of Christ. We're not supposed to be here to confuse people. We're supposed to be here to help one another in the Lord and to give guidance and direction in the Lord. We're supposed to be pointing people to Jesus Christ, not pushing them away from the body of Christ. And so it's real important. You know, I'm an observer that way. And I'll walk right up at any conversation. That's my right as the shepherd. I can walk right up into any conversation. Hey, so how's it going? What's going on? You know? And if it goes deathly silent, then I know there's probably something that was being talked about that shouldn't have been talked about, you know? Now, there is an identification with that, that someone is wolfy tendencies because they're trying to devour other sheep. Now, that is not judging someone to condemnation. That's just identifying them as this is what they are. You know? You see, we got to remember, we can't send anyone to hell, and we can't get anybody to heaven. We can't do that. That's all for God to decide and to handle. That's not ours to do. So when you look at judgment, make sure you're focused on the right stuff. We are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. So self-righteous vantage, very unwise, very unhealthy. Verse 2, but we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. It says God knows the truth. God knows exactly what's going on, and God can judge according to truth. We leave things up to Him better. What does that free me up to do? That frees me up to love people. That frees me up just to love people, get along with people, encourage people on their journey. That frees me up. It's very liberating for us as Christians. But see, if you're Ricky Rule Finder, and you're in charge of the sin-sniffing hounds and all that, and you got to find out who's doing what and how come they did that, now it gets messed up. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're free to love one another and just love Jesus Christ and embrace people and encourage them to follow the Lord. You know, people tell me, hey, you know, I'm really concerned about so-and-so. Do you know what so-and-so is? I was like, whoa. Maybe you ought to talk with them if you're aware of this. Novel concept, but probably the best thing to do, go read Matthew 18, go read what we just read about logs and specks, go think through these things for a bit, make sure your heart's right, you go discuss it with them. I'm not in charge of all this stuff. I've been set free just to love people. Now, if it's infecting others, it's my concern. If it's an isolated case, deal with it. If it's starting to permeate, then I'm going to get involved. Other than that, I try not to. I don't want to be involved in all that stuff. I want to be able to just love people, encourage them to follow the Lord, teach the Word of God, have a good time in Jesus. And let God, the Holy Spirit can fix. Think of the things that the Lord has quickened you in your heart. Think of the things in your heart where God's quickened you and spoke to your heart. And you were able to just seal that up in your heart between you and the Lord and deal with it. Isn't that a lot better? God, I do the joy dance every morning. Maybe I'm the guy that sins the most, but I do the joy. I'm really excited every day that God, that I can have the ability to repent and I can just follow the Lord. I'm so thankful for that. That God doesn't hold a charge against me or against you. What a great thing to know. But I'm trying to throw in the positive things because this is rough stuff. These first five chapters of Romans, it's tough stuff because we're looking in the mirror of humanity, all of humanity, of which I know it's shocking you're a part of. You know, but a lot of times, isn't it weird how we can kind of like step outside of it, you know, like, yeah, gosh, I don't know why people do that. You know, it's like, well, you're not a people, you know, we're all the same. You know, it's different varying things, but we all struggle with things. And do you think this, oh man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing them, that you will escape the judgment of God? So again, he's coming from a self-righteous vantage point that you who are judging other people and are being self-righteous, do you think you're going to escape judgment? Because you're thinking about doing it. He just got through discussing in the latter part of chapter 1 and verse 32 about approving those things, being a part of them just because you're viewing them or a part of it, you know, because you're in society and running with some of this. Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Man, verse 4, I'm so thankful it's there. And man, we can be repentant, that God can help us, the goodness of God, knowing how good God is and how much He loves us, and that it's not about our own efforts and our own works, but that we're received because of His grace and His mercy, because of faith in Jesus Christ. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who, by patient continuance in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first, of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who works what is good, the Jew first and the Greek, for there's no partiality with God. There's no partiality with God. There's also the fact that no one can live up to the righteous standard. So there's a tight rope here because they've got the standard, the Jewish people got the standard, right? They got issued the standard. You know, they were trusted with the oracles of God. They got issued the standard. But they can't even live up to the righteous standard. But they're thinking, they're trusting in the fact that they are themselves living to the righteous standard. This is like, to me, this is the greatest liberation that can ever happen. It's like a giant eraser that can go across our lives if we'll just trust in God. Just trust in the finished work of what Jesus did. It's like this giant eraser. I love each new day, and I really love the first of the year. I just like get this giant eraser in my mind and just erase it all out, you know? Because, you know, we just get a clean slate. It's like, and so I try and live that way each day. I try and go, get a clean slate. Clean slate today, you know? Because each day has got its, the Bible's very clear, sufficient for its own trouble. There's things that'll happen that day. And we just want to follow the Lord that day and trust in the Lord that day, each and every day. Man, but we get lost and bogged down in these other things and trying to do it ourselves. Even trusting in that is not going to work. But there is no partiality with God. God sees the self-righteous and the other the same. The pagan groups that are, you know, worshiping, you know, their idols and all this. And this is what Paul's trying to create, a level playing field. He's trying to say, hey, both stink. It's not going to work. It's filthy rags. It's not going to mesh up to God's righteous standard. Now, this is offensive to many. Why is it offensive? Because the flesh wants to have some kind of identification with our salvation. Because there's tremendous humility. Pride has to go completely out the window that I have nothing to do with it, but it's only the love of God. It's only the finished work of the cross. And all I did was respond to God's love when He reached out and touched my heart. When God reached out and just touched my heart, touched your heart, all you did was respond to that touch of God. You said yes. That's all you and I did, was say yes to God. And just by saying yes, we have everlasting life, this free gift entrusted to us. You know, we were talking yesterday at the men's meeting, just the simplicity of the gospel. You know, what a blessed thing that is, the simplicity of it. Oh, I'm so thankful. Because if it had anything to do with rocket science, most of us would be disqualified. You know, we just wouldn't get it. And those of us who are trusting in our own intellect that we're smart and we kind of can grab a hold of deep concepts and stuff and go, great. But that doesn't save you. The thing that saved you is the same thing that saved me, man. We responded to the touch of God and said yes. Oh, I'm thankful for that truth. There's no partiality with God. God is no respecter of persons. He loves all of humanity. He wants to have a relationship with all.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for listening to the message today. You know, I was thinking about Jesus being that good shepherd. And he said, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." You know, and we just kind of think of that as a door that on hinges that opens and shuts. But really, at that time period, the shepherd was the door himself. He would lay across the opening. And the sheep would have to kind of cross over him and get through him to get in and out of the sheepfold. And he said, "All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." You know, Jesus was never just a hireling for you or for me. Jesus loves you with a perfect love. He gave his life for you on the cross. He wants to give you life abundant, as spoken of in the scripture here. He is the access into everlasting life. Maybe you've been distant from the Lord. You tuned in and you've gone to church before. You've opened your life at one point, but now you're just living out in the world and away from God, and you're feeling the hurt and the shame and the conviction of the sin. Well, Jesus wants to forgive you again in a fresh new way. He wants you to get started on that journey again. And maybe you're hearing this simple gospel message for the first time, and you want to give your life to Jesus. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you, and God wants to give you a chance. Just pray this simple prayer with me. "Jesus, I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I want to invite you into my heart to be my personal Lord and Savior. I want to thank you for the free gift of everlasting life that you've given me now. And I thank you, Lord, for all your goodness, all your grace. And I just ask, Lord, that you would flood my heart with your Holy Spirit now, that my life might bring you honor and glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus,